Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Great to be here with you again.
All right, Ed, if folks want to watch the show or engage with other listeners and or access the information we're talking about, how can they do that?
First, we'd question why you'd want to watch us, because we're not particularly good looking.
Well, speak for yourself. You know, Fred and I just, you can speak for yourself. Fred and I had our times in GQ.
I'll take a sharp left turn here then. Let me just give you the information you need if you would like to watch us. You can go to Facebook or YouTube and search for this program, Today's Issues.
How long will you have to search?
Well, just momentarily, and our name will pop up.
Okay.
Today's Issues. You click on it. You don't have to search long, folks.
Okay.
We're there, right at the, at the
top of
the line.
You know, it's not like Chicago. I've been searching for so long, right?
Ed, yes, that's right.
I always want to get a 70s pop song in there if I can.
You do it well.
Yes, okay.
And so anyway, and if you want to search for the outcome of the hockey game last night, I can turn the conversation to a discussion.
The Boston Bruins.
3-0.
They're up 3-0.
They're up 3-0. I've been very proud of you, by the way. You are making a sincere effort to understand hockey.
I'm trying to. I just thought to myself, about a month ago, I thought, what am I really doing
with your life?
With my life. I mean, I have a great wife. We've been married 35 years. We have three wonderful children, seven grandchildren.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, I golf when I can, when the weather allows for it and it's appropriate. Sometimes it's appropriate to do yard work with my wife.
And, right, Tim.
To support her. And then it's appropriate to golf at other times.
Yes.
To support my habit. But then I thought, what am I really here for? And I thought, for the rest of my life, what can I do with it? And I thought, some people, they want to study art or literature.
Right.
Or they want to travel. And I like traveling. But I thought, learning about hockey.
Yes. A new challenge in life.
Is a new challenge for me.
Keep your mind sharp.
So I have dedicated the next month of my life to understanding hockey as best I can. And then I'll re-engage this time next year.
Yes, there you go.
So I can identify with my brother.
Yes.
And the Bible says, share your brother's burdens. Your burden is that the Bruins win the Stanley Cup.
That's right. See, you even know the
and
champion.
I'm right there with you.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
We'll make this journey together.
Okay.
You got to get to a hockey game, though.
Yeah.
You've been watching on television, right?
I have been to one hockey game. Mm. It was a minor league hockey game, and they started beating what word can you use on Christian radio?
Stuffing?
Yeah, stuffing. They started beating the stuffing out of each other, and I left.
Was it a Mississippi State
game? Yeah, no, it was a hockey.
This was a semi-pro.
It wasn't Anyway.
Yeah.
I think we've dedicated enough time to hockey here.
I know our listeners are agreeing.
So much to talk about, so much going on in the world. Abraham Hamilton III, who doesn't know squat about hockey.
Right.
I mean squat about hockey, will be on at the bottom of the hour. But he does know a lot about the law, about the Bible, and about the Constitution. We will be talking to him. All right. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, let's go to the desk of the governor of Alabama. Her name is Kay Ivey. She's a Republican, and she has a decision to make today because the Senate last night in Alabama, by a 25-6 vote, have passed a bill that basically outlaws all abortions in that state, only one exception, and that is if the life of the mother is in danger. Now, a lot of these bills that have been passed recently, they make exceptions also for rape or incest. but not in this case. This is being called the most extensive bill against abortion, and it is believed the governor there, Kay Ivey, will sign this into law. Now, it's going to be challenged, we know that, but it's all part, and I mean, it's other states, Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, Georgia, other states are looking to do the same thing. So there is a real movement, folks, across this country to try to, at the very least, to put some curbs on the killing of the unborn in this country.
And this law, my understanding is this law is crafted in such a way that it is a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade. They want this case to go to the Supreme Court, and that's their intention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not that's a miscalculation, because it's for me, it's been a little bit hard to read Brett Kavanaugh in terms of how he would vote on these kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not, I think the Alabama lawmakers believe they have enough conservative jurists mm-hmm. on the Supreme Court
mm-hmm.
to take a shot at restricting or overturning Roe versus Wade. The question that is going to be asked is the baby, the unborn child, a person?
Yeah.
And if the baby is a person,
mm-hmm.
then the baby is protected by the Constitution. That's been the argument the whole time. It's not a person.
Well, this bill in Alabama, which may become law by the end of the day,
right,
if the governor signs it, makes performing an abortion at any stage of pregnancy a felony, punishable by up to 99 years or life in prison.
For the doctor performing it.
For the doctor.
Not for the woman.
Not for the woman, which is kind of interesting when you look at other laws. One might make an argument that if the woman goes in and asks for the abortion, that she would be a part of that
right.
breaking of the law, but it's not the case in the Alabama bill.
And to me, that is, this is a very, the subject of abortion is a very emotional one.
Yes.
And that is one of the strongest arguments that pro-abortion people make to pro-life people
mm-hmm.
is if you really think this is murder, why aren't you charging the woman?
Yeah.
And to me, the only answer is because it's not politically palatable. You cannot get anywhere
mm-hmm.
with laws that would charge the mother.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm not sure how this is going to play out, even if it makes it to the Supreme Court. It's going to be challenged. It'll be shot down almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But the hope is this will go to the Supreme Court, and we'll have to wait and see. I honestly don't know what the outcome. You know, you have four liberal justices mm-hmm. immediately voting in
yes.
favor of maintaining Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you get five conservatives to overturn it.
Well, unfortunately, we don't know anymore because Kavanaugh the other day went with the four
right.
liberals in a decision on a commerce issue.
Yes.
So we just don't know. I think the Alabama Supreme Court, is it a 4-3 split? Or pardon me, the state Supreme Court in Alabama?
I guess, this would be a good question to ask Abe. I'm not sure where, if it's challenged immediately in federal court, if you go around the Alabama Supreme Court or what.
I don't know.
We'll wait and see. Listen, I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. I hope a Roe versus Wade is overturned
mm-hmm.
and it is in the dustbin of human history.
Absolutely.
I'm just looking at the lay of the land and wondering if they can get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in a somewhat related story this morning, I put this headline up on One News Now this morning. Here's the headline, U.S. birth rate continues to fall. How many babies have died from abortion since Roe v. Wade? Is it 60 million plus?
Yeah, it was I always multiply the number of years by 1.5. I think it is 63, 60-something million.
Well, I tell you what, folks, there is a crisis developing in this country because we are not producing enough babies to replace the population that's passing away.
Right.
Now, this is the latest report just out this morning. The nation's birth rates last year reached record lows for women in their teens and 20s. This government report leading to the fewest babies in 32 years. The fertility rate of 1.7 births per U.S. woman also fell 2%, meaning the current generation isn't making enough babies to replace itself, The fertility rate is a hypothetical estimate based on lifetime projections of age-specific birth rates. Now, what does this mean? Well, what it means is that we have an aging population. We have fewer and fewer babies being born. That is, and the end result of that is the new population is not able to sustain where we are as a country.
Yeah,
entitlement programs, all because right. you don't have as many taxpayers.
That's right.
In all of this. It is scary in this point in that we've seen what happened in Europe.
Yes.
Ed, you and I have talked about this in other programs over the last 20 years here at
right.
American Family Right. We look to Europe. Look what's happening there. And some people say that's why they opened their doors to more immigrants.
It is why.
Yeah. Because they said we had to have more people coming in.
To work.
Yeah.
Japan, too.
Japan is aging. Even China. I for a long time, I thought this was just a phenomenon in the West, but mm-hmm. it's happening in China. Mm-hmm. They're talking about by 2030, maybe 2040, China's going to have a negative population growth. So the idea – oh, go ahead.
Well, this is an Associated Press story that Fred's citing. Are we putting this up on our web, on our Facebook page? I didn't realize I knew what was going on in Europe and Japan, for example, with extremely low birth rates.
It's non-replacement.
Non-replacement, which is 2.3,
2.1. 2.1. So you think you have a mother and a father to
right.
replace them. You have to have two children. The 2.1, the 0.1 is to cover for infant mortality.
Gotcha. Okay. So, but I did not realize that had come to our shores.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this story, May 15, 2019, Associated Press, as you just read, Fred, America's baby bust is over. The nation's birth rate last year reached record lows for women in their teens and 20s. A government report shows leading to the fewest babies in 32 years. Provisional, is that what that means, report?
Yes.
Released Wednesday and based on more than 99% of U.S. birth records found 3.788 million births last year. One other thing, the fertility rate of 1.7 births per U.S. woman also fell 2%, meaning the current generation isn't making enough babies to replace itself. Wow, if this continues, can I speculate? Do they in this story go on to say why this is?
No, but what they talk about is if this trend continues, the dire consequences of this for the country.
Yeah, they're talking about, for example, and just because I'm Italian, that's not why I'm making this, but when I did a couple of articles on this for the AFA Journal
mm-hmm.
7-8 years ago, they were talking about the fact that by the end of the century, this century, there might not be any Russians left. There might not be any Italians left
mm-hmm.
because they just disappear.
That's right.
Because if you have a generation, a mother and a father, if they only have one child, everyone only has one child, you have cut the population in half in one generation.
Yep.
And then if the following generation does the same thing, you have the ethnic group, the national group, disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the U.S. birth rate has remained a little bit higher than European because we've had a lot of immigrants coming from Mexico, from Latin America,
mm-hmm.
and they were having more children than the native population.
Not any longer.
And not any longer.
No, this birth rates were down across racial groups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. According to this study, with small declines for Hispanics, whites, blacks, and Asians. These are American kids.
Right.
The number of babies born to native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders was stable. I got a couple of reasons, and I'm speculating here,
mm-hmm.
But I have read about this a lot in the last, a lot, I guess that's relative, but I mean, I have read about this enough to know sort of what I'm talking about here. One is they're citing the generation that typically has babies, which is what, 20 to 18 to 35?
Usually.
A lot of those people are not interested in having children. They'd rather have a dog because if they're going to have a baby, they just want to have one maybe because it takes away from what they want to do. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That used to be, some people call it selfishness. I'm just telling you that whatever you want to call that, that is a reason that a lot of millennials and others don't have children or don't have more than one, maybe two. So that's one reason. Second reason is it's expensive. Okay. Mm-hmm. Having children is expensive, mm-hmm. from the hospital doctor to raising them.
Right.
And again, don't blame me, folks. I'm not saying that's good enough reason. I'm just telling you that's a reality for a lot of people. So number one, a lot of these younger people don't want to have kids because they won't. The kids will take away from what they want to do with their lives. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's very expensive for a lot of people to think about raising children and education and all the things that come with it. And three, because there's so many distractions for younger people today, they're not fooling around. If you get my drift.
That in places like Japan, that's a reality.
Yeah.
They prefer games,
right?
And this is a crisis in Japan.
Yeah, real. It's real. We're not kidding.
They're saying they're not having sexual relations.
Right.
They had other things going on. There's other thinkers, obviously, especially Christian thinkers like Mary Eberstadt and others who say they're.
I'm not a Christian thinker. Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is that there are sociologists and stuff who aren't coming from a Christian perspective.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So no, I didn't mean that at all.
Okay.
She says it's tied to the West's move away from God. That when you move away from God, you begin to stop thinking about eternity. You begin to stop thinking about vision in terms of the next generation, passing on values. You become, to your point, stuck and mired in the pleasure of today.
Yep.
And so
sure
that
they are.
So that's happened in Europe first, because Europe has always been, whatever it is, 4 or 5 years, a decade ahead of us going down the secular path. Mm. And that's why America's trailed a little bit, but we're catching up. With moving away from God, we don't care about, you know.
Another big thing is you also have birth control.
Yes.
That you didn't have in past generations. Absolutely. I guess you had birth control for, what, 40 years now, 30 years, something like that?
50s. I think the pill was invented in the 50s. 50.
Okay, yeah. But, I mean, it's used today.
Right.
And all those reasons. Go ahead.
And I think another big reason is the feminist movement, the radical feminist movement in this country, which was out there and has been for a couple of decades now. What they've been saying to women is, you're not leading a fulfilled life unless you put career first.
Right.
That somehow you're missing out in life. You know, I'll use the personal.
It's disparaging motherhood, in other words. It's not important.
Right. And also stay-at-home moms. You know, my wife gets asked, you know, on various, you know, filling out forms and that sort of thing, where do you work?
Right.
Well, she's always put down through the years because we made the decision, oh, she was going to stay home, take care of our girls. That they consider being at home raising kids, you don't work.
Right.
Well, moms
sometimes
do work.
Sometimes they'll actually say that.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't work anywhere.
You don't work anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it takes work to be a mom.
Right.
Right.
But that is disparaged. Mm-hmm. That is, you're a lower class citizen if you stay at home. And that thinking, sadly, has even entered into the Christian community.
Yeah.
Because what we're saying here, this, I would say that 1.7 birth rate is probably what it's like in the Christian community at large, too.
Although my understanding is that evangelicals and other conservatives actually have more kids than liberals.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I would like to see that statistic. I would guess Roman Catholics would, too. But
If they follow church teaching, they would. But I've read several reports and studies that say that conservatives don't be afraid. You're going to outnumber liberals because you're having kids and they're not.
And they're not. Well, yeah, you know,
not that's guaranteed.
But 1.7. Wow.
Some countries are 1.3. I think Spain is like 1.3. I mean, there's a level where
we're probably not going to see it in our lifetimes, given our ages. But somewhere down the road, right? The you mentioned Japan, like in 500 years or 300 years, I don't know when it was, there may not be any Japanese.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Because they aren't reproducing.
You just disappear. And then like in Spain or in Japan, for example, now Japan's a little different because it's more of a homogenous society, but take a place like Spain or even Italy, your generations start to cut in half, and then two Italians can't find each other. They're in the country.
That's a good point.
But they're not finding other Italians to marry. So you talk about, you know, entire cultures disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network and the devaluing of children.
Yes.
Well, connecting it to abortion.
Yeah.
When you consider we've lost at least 60 million babies since Roe v. Wade, you've got to factor that into what's going on in this country.
And to your point, just for the sheer financial aspect of it, when Social Security was instituted, there were 5 or 6 workers for everyone who was on Social Security. Now it's down to like 2 or 3, and it could get to where it's 1 for 1. You have one person working to pay for the Social Security of a person who's retired and is living 10 to 20 years longer than they did when Social Security was instituted. It's very complex, but to me, the core reason is you move away from God, you lose the biblical model for everything. You lose the biblical ideal for marriage and family and having children, with why that is important. All those things, you lose all those things, and the laws of nature that God created and the laws for human nature that God created, you start to see the consequences. There's a tipping point.
Yeah.
My understanding is they call it demographic winter. There's a tipping point, they say, at which you can never recover.
Mm.
So you have some of these societies where if you get to 1.1, you can't ever recover, and people groups disappear.
You know, that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
It really is. But, you know, we have exceptions here at AFA.
We really do.
We have one coming in a few minutes to talk to us.
And that's the point I was making.
Yeah.
Is you have a lot of Christians having large families.
Yeah. That's still happening out there.
Mm. We're going to take them over.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to take them over. Look out, ACLU.
That's
the Hamiltons are coming for you.
That's right. Abe Hamilton's grandson or granddaughter will make sure they turn off the lights at the American Civil Liberties.
That's right.
When the last ACLU anti-God lawyer dies, one of the Christians will turn off the lights for you.
I tell you what.
All right, Fred, we got 1 minute before we take a break. What do you got for us?
They're having a do-over election in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was problems.
Mulligan.
A mulligan. Is that what they call it?
In golf.
In golf.
A do-over.
A do-over.
It's kind of like is anybody looking? okay. Hey, I found my ball. And you hit it again. You know what I'm saying?
I've heard of that.
I'm kidding.
Anyway,
a do-over, yeah.
There were some problems in one of the districts in North Carolina. Remember, it was Republican Harris.
Yeah.
And they had some problems with some of the votes. Anyway, they're doing a do-over. But the Republican who won the primary is Representative Dan Bishop, who happens to be one of the authors over there of the bathroom bill. So he won. He beat out 8 other Republicans in that primary yesterday. So that all heads this October, I think, is when they're going to have the election. But he was one of the main sponsors of the bathroom bill in North Carolina.
That was written to protect women and children.
Exactly.
Yes.
In North Carolina from having to worry about going, men being in their restrooms and their changing facilities.
Exactly.
That was owned by the state. Right?
Yes. State property.
All right. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Abraham Hamilton III will join us in just a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Our Holy Land tour for March of 2020 is set. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Last year, we sold out in August, and I expect us to do that again this year. There is such a high demand, especially among Christians in America, to see Israel, the land of the Bible. So we're going again in March on our annual trek. So I wanted to go ahead and let you know, if you want to sign up and register, get more information, whatever the case may be, if you want to go to our website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com, everything is there, twholyland.com. You can even print off a brochure from that website. It's going to be a wonderful time visiting Israel with brothers and sisters from across our country as we go to the Holy Land in March. So go ahead and get signed up now, twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
The fight over our founding fathers. That story coming up. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The Founding Fathers are fighting for their good names at two American universities. Students at George Washington University are calling for a new nickname. They say the Colonials celebrates imperialism needs to go. Hundreds signed a petition saying the Colonials' nickname is extremely offensive to the rest of the world. And at Hofstra University in New York, Thomas Jefferson is under fire. Students want a statue of our third president removed from campus. They say Jefferson represents racism and slavery. So far, the universities have not announced their intentions. There is an effort afoot, ladies and gentlemen, to whitewash American history, to turn our past into history. I write about this issue in my new book, Culture Jihad. It's available right now for pre-orders. Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio, Today's Issues on AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred, and we thank you for listening. Well, Abraham Hamilton III joins us most Wednesdays at this time. Abe is a constitutional attorney. He is a legal counsel here with us at AFA, and he also has an afternoon radio program called the Hamilton Corner, which most of you listen to, I'm sure, from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, you brought a... You got a new secretary over there? What's going on here?
No, so it started with my son, who came with me. Y'all met, Friday met him. He was here with me, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now my daughter, my oldest daughter, Anna, wanted to come with me to work to see what I do all day.
Okay, Anna. Hey, Anna, you want to come over here and get by Dad so everybody can see you on the camera?
Come on, baby.
Is that a yes or a no? Come over here by your daddy. So if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, Today's Issues, Anna, I got that right?
That's right.
A-N-N-A. Anna Hamilton is in studio with Daddy today.
That's right.
To see what Daddy does. And how old are you? How old are you, sweetheart? Six. Six? Okay. What do you like to do? I won't ask you too many questions. You like, what's your favorite subject for school? History? Math? Science. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And then what sport do you like? Soccer, baseball,
hockey,
basketball. What?
Piano.
Oh, piano. Piano's a sport now, is it?
I play piano.
You play piano. Cool. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, that's your hobby. Okay, I got you.
Well, all right. So much to talk about in the next few minutes with Abe. You want to get started, Fred?
Yeah, I wanted to get Abe's opinion on what happened last night in Alabama. Mm-hmm. They have passed their version of a ban against abortion, with the exception of women's whose life is in danger. And we've been talking about this one seems to go a little bit further than even other similar bills that have been passed in other states, no exceptions for rape or incest. Mm-hmm. Now, just a couple of things. I mean, the penalty is up to 99 years or life in prison for a doctor, a medical person found guilty of doing this. I guess, what are the chances? This is going to be challenged in court, I mean, almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Your predictions on how the courts are going to handle this, because as I say, this is the most strict that mm-hmm. I have seen so far, with the one exception being allowed. You're put on your futurist hat there and tell us how you think this is going to work.
Well, predicting what the courts would do is not an exact science.
No.
But looking at the bill, and you're right, looking at the bill, there is an exception, and the exception for the abortion ban would only apply for the health of the mother as verified by a physician. And there's also an exception in the bill that pertains to even the mental health of a woman who is pregnant. But in order to avail themselves of that exception, it would have to come with an initial affirmation of that mental health risk by an initial physician, confirmed by a second physician. So it does exist there. And looking at this bill, it appears to me that it exists to create a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade, and specifically to challenge the so-called all factors test for health of a woman, the mental health, and so on and so forth, as articulated in the Doe v. Bolton case. And it lays out its own parameters to address the health of a woman, the physical health and or mental health, that would allow for an exception to Alabama's abortion prohibitions. So this does seem like it will make its way to this. It would be challenged and could make its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. And should the Supreme Court accept the challenge to this law, it would be clear to me that they intend to address, if not reverse Roe versus Wade, and to supplant the Doe v. Bolton all factors test for a health exception for an abortion law.
So let me just ask just kind of a logistical question. Mm-hmm. Would the challenge initially go to the Alabama Supreme Court, or does this go to a federal judge immediately?
Well, it would depend on where the case was filed. So if there is a potential litigant who wants to challenge it, you could potentially challenge it in a federal district court or in the state court system. So it would depend on where it was filed, if it was filed at all. This law obviously goes to the Alabama state law. One of the things I found interesting in the bill is that it lays out, first and foremost, that the Alabama citizens voted to amend their state constitution just last November to declare it to be a state that believes in the sanctity of human life from conception. Mm. In addition to that, the bill also lays out historical atrocities like the Holocaust and the murder under Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, the Rwandan genocide, and all of these mass murder events, and says that those pale in comparison to the number of people who have been killed under Roe versus Wade in America. And so it lays out that historical basis for the adoption of this law to put the state legislature in the position to say, hey, we are reflecting the views of our state citizens that we believe that an Alabaman is a human being from conception.
Let me just ask you a loaded question, okay?
Unloaded, Ed.
Okay.
Unload on him.
So here's my question. In terms of a strategy to ultimately get Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton mm-hmm. reversed, okay, is this a wise decision? Knowing that President Trump said he wants to defend life, so we've got Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch. Okay, I'm not sure. I think Kavanaugh would probably be pro-life. is this a wise solution? Is it a choice? Is it premature? I'm asking you to, you know, kind of look into your crystal ball.
I would feel more comfortable with this particular legislation if Ruth Bader Ginsburg wasn't currently still serving on the bench, and if John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh have not demonstrated a willingness to abandon constitutional bona fides in terms of strict construction and interpretation of the Constitution. I will feel better about it. With the potential of seeing Ruth Bader Ginsburg replaced, I guess you can make an argument that it may be slightly premature, but I think as it stands currently, this certainly has a good chance to make it to the Supreme Court. Now, what happens once it gets to the Supreme Court, that I'm not 100% sure that you can depend on John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh, frankly, to side with the conservatives on the Supreme Court.
Then why do we support Kavanaugh?
It's a good question.
Well, I remember when his name came up, there was some concern that he was not conservative
enough. Wait a minute.
I think it's premature to conclude that Kavanaugh will not side with the conservatives on the bench.
It's a question mark.
But it's a question mark.
Okay. Well, all my conservative pro-life friends told me don't worry about it.
Right.
Okay.
AFA was told
get on board.
Yeah.
Okay. But don't worry about it. Trust me, Brett Kavanaugh is pro-life. So I'm going to go with that until I know otherwise. Right. Okay. But this will be interesting to see, because I can't remember the Supreme Court accepting a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade in a long time.
Since 92.
That was Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood versus Casey.
Mm-hmm. Alabama's in what circuit?
Fifth.
Then no, fifth
circuit? Is it fifth?
No, Alabama's in the 11th, the 11th circuit.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if the 11th circuit strikes it down, 11th circuit, it doesn't have to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court might say that's good enough.
They may, and it won't take 5 to grant cert to hear the case. It only takes 4. So I think if the 11th Circuit strikes it down, I think you more than likely will have, well, you should have enough Supreme Court justices to grant cert for the case. But
and
how?
Tell the listeners what that means.
Yeah, so grant cert, the fancy word is certiorari, which simply means that the Supreme Court has 4 of the 9 justices who agreed the issue is important enough and it is ripe to be determined by the Supreme Court for them to make a decision concerning a particular legal issue that's presented.
So that's how the Supreme Court winds up hearing a case.
Yes. And I mean, a recent example of my concern, for example, with Kavanaugh, is that the Supreme Court refused to hear a case concerning the funding mechanism under Medicaid for Planned Parenthood not too long ago. And Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts joined the progressives on the bench to reject that case. So, you know, it remains to be seen. I'm not saying he's already gone, he's already turned, but what I'm saying is I think if anybody to say I know for a fact that this is how it's going to come out, I would question that, how you can conclude that so affirmatively.
You know, but we're talking about what happened in Alabama last night. The state legislature?
The Senate.
Senate. Has
voted 25-6.
What about their House?
House passed it before. The House passed it 74-3 before, and the Senate passed it yesterday.
I'm really surprised that there was no exception for rape or incest, because that's when you lose a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, folks, please don't misunderstand me. I understand that a baby that is conceived either way, rape or incest, is a human being, is a human life. I understand that, okay? I'm just saying to you that the average American out there may go with us on abortion being illegal, but if you tell them you got to force a 15-year-old who's been raped to have a baby, they're going to say, I don't believe in that. I'm just telling you what they're going to say. Yeah. That's going to be the vast majority, don't you think, Ed?
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, in fact, I mentioned during the break, I was looking at the Fox News feed that we have, the television feed, and they had a survey. And again, we're telling people we're not talking about what we believe. We're just saying what the reality on the ground is. It said 63% of Americans want Roe versus Wade to remain in force.
It's on Fox?
On Fox. I couldn't see. The print was too small.
On who the poll?
Who the pollster was. Only 22% wanted it overturned. So what I'm saying is,
I believe that. I believe that's something similar to that. Something. Go ahead.
You're running against the grain,
yes,
in terms of public opinion. Now, that doesn't change the fact that abortion is an abomination. All those kind of things are true. We're just talking about the political realities on the ground. And to your point, I think that number goes up. That percentage goes up if you say, like what you said, only the life of the mother. No exception.
I think you'll find 50%+ of Americans, and again, I'm just would go with you, and more than that in Alabama, probably 60%, maybe more, would be agreeable. Again, this law is passed, so it's going to be either signed by the governor or not. So I'm just talking about
the governor's expected to sign it.
Okay.
And I think for people to minimize the impact of the mental health exceptions included in this law, I think that would be a mistake, because they intentionally included that. They just have upped the ante for how and when and where it can be applied. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see someone connect to that, because the question that would be presented to the court won't be the political reality that we're discussing. The question the court will be asked to evaluate is whether or not a state has the lawful authority to determine what it sees is best for its citizens,
right,
on this issue, whether or not the state can conclude that children in utero are children within the ambit of the state's promulgation and protections for
or not.
Yeah, or not. So what will happen if the court accepts cert and rules in favor of this law at the Supreme Court level, all it will be saying is that it's within the state's parameters to completely establish the legal framework for this, as opposed to announcing a broad-based rule to say what a state can and can't do.
So do you think that having this mental health exception is good or bad?
I think it's good to include it in this law. And the way that they articulated it, they don't exclude the prospect of these mental health exceptions, but they just say it cannot be this mamby-pamby thing as articulated in the Doe v. Bolton case.
So they raised the bar.
They raised the bar significantly.
Because Doe v. Bolton, they basically said, if a woman says, it's going to upset me to have a baby.
That's right.
Then legally she has a right to an abortion.
That's exactly right. And the Alabama legislature sought to say that in their bill, said that is too flimsy for Alabamans to allow the termination of a human life.
Right. You know, one other note here, folks, if Roe versus Wade should be overturned, maybe by this law or another challenge down the road, what that would mean would be that the Supreme Court would be saying, we agree that all 50 states should be allowed to set their own rules regarding abortion. So this would not change, for instance, in New York, for example, where they have the extreme abortion on demand laws. That would not change. This would not change that. Nor would it say to the citizens of Alabama, you can't do what you've done here,
right,
to protect innocent human life in the womb, because you believe that abortion should be unlawful because it's. So you see what I'm saying?
Well, wouldn't it depend on exactly what the Supreme Court said? And if the Supreme Court says an unborn child is a person. Personhood begins at conception. Now, that's a long shot, admittedly.
Yeah.
But if the Supreme Court said personhood begins at conception, okay, then it seems like even state laws could be challenged.
Yes.
Because then people could sue and say, okay, New York, you can't kill a person because of the 13th Amendment? Would
13th, 14th, and 15th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
now, well, that's a good point.
Yeah, it would depend on how broadly the Supreme Court decided to rule. It's very similar, like when we had the conversation about the Jack Phillips case. You had the opportunity to make a broad brush stroke for the First Amendment across the board. Well, the Supreme Court expressly did not do that. They made a very narrow decision in that particular case. The same thing could happen here. They could go as far as to say, listen, a child at conception is a person within the due process and the First Amendment and all of these other provisions of the Constitution. Or they could narrowly say the state is well within its authority to regulate the general welfare of its citizens.
Well, the big thing that's changed even since 1992, is, and certainly since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was declared or established the right to abortion, and that is the medical science.
Yep.
The 3D ultrasounds, you can look inside the womb now. So, you know, the Supreme Court would have to look at least in my mind, to the heartbeat.
Yeah.
The heartbeat. Right. And say, when does heartbeat start, by the way? Is that 6 weeks?
Right at about six weeks, a heartbeat can be detected.
It seems to me, you would say, we're looking, if you put this in the, up on the, you know, for the Supreme Court justice to look at, and you say, it's yours to decide, is that a human being or not?
Right.
I just don't see how anybody can see a heartbeat.
Blob of tissue.
With a heartbeat, but a heartbeat and say that's not a human being. Well, then what kind of being is it?
Right.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying I could see that factoring into a 5-4 decision in our to defend life. I could easily see four of the Supreme Court justices saying, I don't care.
Yes.
I don't give a rip whether that's a human life or not. The mother should still be able to abort it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's the view of the pro-abortion side today.
Yes, it is.
I think you can say that right now. Four of them will say.
They used to say, we don't know what it is. It's mm-hmm. a blob of tissue, but we can't establish that it's a human being. That's what the pro-abortion side / pro-choice used to say prior to these ultrasounds and these things that show us clearly that it's a baby. Then when you get to the point where you go, okay, well, now what do you say to the pro-choice crowd when you say, see there, we can prove now it's a baby, it's a human being. Then they started saying, we don't care.
Yeah.
They did. I couldn't believe it when they did that, but they just said, we don't care. That's how they view, how cheaply they view human life.
Yeah.
All right, well, we will ask people to pray about this situation.
Absolutely.
And we applaud the legislature and the governor of Alabama for standing for innocent human life. Mm-hmm. Why, you ask? Because God Almighty cares about this issue, Abe. Am I right?
You're absolutely right.
And the Bible speaks to this, right?
Yes.
So we're on the side of God, right?
To stand for
innocent human life.
Yes,
right.
So if you wonder why the crazy Christians do what we do, well, the Lord Himself, who we believe in, champions the right to life, as does the Constitution.
Yeah.
So we will pray for this situation. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Anna. If we had a piano here, I'd ask you to play something, but we have no.
She would too.
Yeah, we have no piano. But good. All right.
We have no piano today.
Is that a song, Fred?
We have no bananas.
I'm hearing a lot more.
We have no bananas.
That
must precede me. What was that? A Puff the Maggoty Dragon song, or what was that?
I don't remember. Yes, we have no bananas today. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
We're gonna come. There you go.
Okay. I started engaging with pop culture with Mr. Rogers. So if you got something before that, Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody.
The Howdy Doody, we're talking 50s.
Yeah,
now,
that's
right?
50s.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
All right. What was between Howdy Doody and Mr. Rogers? Was there a between children's pop culture?
Woody from Toy Story.
No, I think you're talking 90s right there.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we are thankful that we have Brother Abraham Hamilton III on our team.
Absolutely.
He is wonderful. And Abe came to us from New Orleans a couple of years back. And
we won't let him leave.
No, just a great brother. You talk about somebody, with the exception of Brian Fisher, I don't know anybody that knows the Constitution and the Bible as well as those two guys.
He's an actual and Abe's an actual constitutional attorney,
right?
So,
but anyway, you don't want to get into a Bible quiz with any
or
one
a
of
constitution those,
or a constitution quiz
right.
with Brian or Abe.
Yes.
Are you want to put them on your team? If
yes.
You're playing.
That's right.
Playing a game like
it's like having a ringer on a softball team.
All right. We thank you for listening to AFR. Well, Lynn Ingram is back with us. Lynn is with Redeem Clean, and he is a laundryman from Abilene, Texas. And Lynn joins us every other week to answer a question and remind folks that you can go to afastore.net, afastore.net, as many of you have, and purchase your Redeem Clean laundry detergent and other products. And when you buy those, some of that purchase comes back to support our ministry here. So if you're going to buy laundry detergent anyway,
right,
you might as well help our ministry. How you doing, Lynn?
Good morning. Me and all, we're doing awesome in West Texas. Thank you for asking, Tim.
I appreciate you being on, brother.
Yes, sir. We wouldn't miss it for the world. Thank you.
Absolutely. And people can go to afastore.net. afastore.net and read all about what we're about to discuss and the Redeem Clean, which that's a product that Lynn and his partner Jim they created and they made and now we're offering it. All right, here's the question for the week, Lynn, to you.
Yes, sir.
Can you give us some idea of the feedback you have gotten lately from those using the Redeem Clean products?
You bet. This is unscripted right here. But Tim, for exactly what you said a while ago about Abraham, it's the information that people get from AFA and AFR, they hear nowhere else. And it makes them think, and it's verifiable information that they can research and document, and we need to hear that. And that's it. So that was unscripted there.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it, the rest of the feedback we're getting is surprisingly consistent. It's listener after listener are talking about they like the products compared to everything they use. They told us they've had some skin sensitivities that they've been unable to get that taken care of, but this is meeting those needs. But really the number one consistent theme that we're hearing throughout that is that they love contributing to AFA and AFR in addition to what they normally do, because it's an exciting, unconventional way to support ministry. And a lot of business people that I have talked to, not only in Abilene, but I've had a chance to travel some, and they have talked, Lynn, how can we use our business to support ministry? And I said, what's the Lord called you to do? Where's your wheelhouse? You can do something. Everybody can do something. And we just happen to be business people, and we just happen to be in the laundry business. But that's what we do, Tim. And it's a great platform that we can encourage business men and women to get off the seats and out of the boardrooms and off the executive things that they're in and go to work to put some feet to what they're supposed to be doing.
Amen. Let me ask you this. I know you're not a psychologist, but I was at a Little League baseball game the other day, T-ball game.
Okay.
And I just wonder how many kids do this, Lynn. This boy, he's probably 5-6 years old, and he's coming from second to third base, right?
Okay.
There's no ball coming into third to tag him out, but he decides I'm going to hit the ground anyway on this green Bermuda grass, and I'm just going to make Mama very happy. Because I'm not even trying to avoid a tag. I'm just going to go ahead and green up one whole side of my pants.
Uh-huh.
Why do kids do that? All moms want to know. Why do they do that?
Because they know Mom has Redeem Clean at home.
Good point, Ed.
That is really a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one there, Tim.
Yeah.
But that is so true, though.
Yeah.
I think little boys, it's a badge of honor or something.
Yeah, they can't go home with a clean uniform.
No,
right.
No, it doesn't look like they played or they've done anything.
Hey, thank you, Lynn. God bless you, brother.
Tim, thank you. Ed, thank you. Bless you. God bless you guys, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Be back in a minute, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.